Today on CityCast Denver. One thing I feel like I'm seeing more and more of nowadays are sober events or sober bars. It's definitely something I'm excited about as a recovering alcoholic. But this sober trend is not just for people like me.
It's not an AA meeting. We're not doing testimonials. It's a party.
That's how my friend Jen Cordy describes her booze-free event, Clearheads. It's purposefully not a, quote, sober event. It's just a cool hang that's not centered on alcohol. Every month at Fort Greene in Globeville, Jen curates live music, food trucks, and just overall good vibes. So I wanted to talk to her about why she saw a need for Clearheads in Denver and how it might be a better space to enjoy music and art than your traditional bar scene. Today is Thursday, May 5th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Ready. Okay. Can do this.
Old friends. Old tricks.
Jen Cordy, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Hi, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited you're here too. And we're talking about something that's really important to me, and I'm so glad that you're doing this, but you're creating this thing, this space called Clearheads, a booze-free hang. Why did you want to create Clearheads?
Well, I mean, I would like to be honest. I'm not on my own sober journey. I have not had to go down that route, but I have several community members who have, and I don't really drink and I don't really party very hard. And I just thought it would be cool to create a space free of alcohol, free of feeling. There's so many aspects, like the performers don't feel like they need to drink to perform. The club isn't putting the economic pressure for the band to play later and later and later to keep people drinking, to get wasted, to make money. The audience has a safe place to go where, frankly, like, alcohol can bring out some serious deviance, right? So it's really about creating a space where you're challenging the relationship of alcohol and the consummation of art.
Yes, and I appreciate that because the last band I was in, which was like 10 years ago, I was sober, and it was a very different experience than the previous band I was in when I was not sober. And I know exactly what you're talking about, which is the room becomes different when you're playing, you know, when you're an artist playing a show and everyone is hammered. You know what I mean? And I know that you've been performing for many years,
a millennia.
But it's interesting to me that you are taking this on as someone that is not on a sober journey, that doesn't struggle with alcohol, but sees it as maybe something that gets in the way when we're also trying to have a good time around art.
And I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's not an AA meeting. I've had some people be like, "Ooh, that sounds like a downer," and you're like, "No, this isn't a. It's not an AA meeting. We're not doing testimonials. It's a party." It's a celebration of life and a celebration of art. We are just present and in the moment. And coming out of COVID, a lot of my personal journey with art is like, I just want to come from a place of joy. I only want to play shows that feel good. I only want to create spaces that feel good. And so to me, Clearheads is like coming from a new place of joy and clarity, having a clear head about it. So my Armbar performers last month spoke to their journey and through rehab and how that felt, and they've never shared that on stage before. So that was really cool to be able to provide that space, and everybody was really open to it, but it didn't have that feeling of like we're being lectured,
we're at an AA meeting,
yeah, or at an AA meeting. It was more like, hey, you know what, I have been sober this long, I wrote this song when I was in rehab, here's why I wrote that song, and I've never shared that with anybody, but I feel like this is a space that I can do that. It was really cool to facilitate that. And even the DJ that we had, you know, she was like, hey, I'm not a sober person, but I really appreciate this space because it challenges me to feel like I can just show up and be present in my art and not feel like I need to have that drink or two before I play because I have social anxiety or I got to get in my vibe or whatever. Like, I understand that. I used to do that too. I feel like that's part of the culture, right, of music, is being like, oh, we're drinking whiskey and I have my whiskey voice and I'm going to smoke a ton of cigarettes, and like that's gonna make me so much better. And when people are like, that performance is great, I can be like, oh, what's the whiskey, you know? And really, to me, music is church. So finding new reverence.
I think you're hitting on something that people who are in sobriety want so badly, but also folks who are not, but alcohol just doesn't play a role in their lives. And it just, it's a new place. It's like almost like you're imagining a new space, which is we can get together, enjoy art. We're not focused on alcohol, but we're not even necessarily, we're talking about it a little bit, but it's also just like, I can go to this event and not feel pressure to do something or feel pressure to get drunk or, you know what I mean? Honestly, it's a day party, right? It's like from noon to four.
Mm-hmm. It's also all ages. Like I made it that way. So like people who, I mean, under 21 year olds have nowhere to go to experience music. Kids, or elderly people, you know, like
families. I mean,
families, anybody. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. Creating a new space without it.
This episode is brought to you by the Museum of Outdoor Arts. Because on Sunday, April 28th, the museum is hosting La Primavera Festival, a celebration of spring, to kick off event season at Marjorie Park. La Primavera Festival is a family-friendly event inspired in part by the Gaelic Bealtaine celebration and European May Day, marking the beginning of summer. And the star of the show is really something special. They're premiering the latest permanent installation by local artist Lonnie Hansen. It's called The Cabinet of Curiosities and Impossibilities. Hansen describes it as an enchanting homage to English curio shops, featuring a collection of relics from fairy tales and nursery rhymes that tell stories about early optics, geometry, magical tools, celestial wonders, and more. The festival includes a pancake brunch, live Celtic music, maypole dancing, flower crown and basket making, yard games, and a bar for adult beverages. Tickets are available now at moaonline.org. That's moaonline.org.
So I have to ask you, this event, Clearheads, was created in part because you secured a grant to, so you could make sure that you could pay DJs and pay artists and bring food trucks in and make sure that they make enough money. But you're still hosting it at a bar at Fort Greene. I just wonder, how did you get a bar to sign on to a booze-free event?
Well, Eleanor at Fort Greene is amazing. I chose Fort Greene because, you know, Eleanor, we had a long conversation. Eleanor wants Fort Greene to be a community space. That's important to her. It's also a historic building. It's been around since the 1800s. It's in a historic neighborhood. It's women owned. There's like four people that work there. And that's part of the goal, right? Every aspect has intention. So what's the intention? The intention is to help a small space that really struggled during COVID and still needs support and also wants to be a community member. So I don't look at Fort Greene as a bar. It also doesn't feel like a bar. It's got a really cool aesthetic. Like, I've had some people tell me they've gone to some sober bars in town and it was really triggering for them because it felt like a bar. It felt like a club. Like, there's, you know, non-alcoholic wall of spirits and they just felt very triggered, like they were back in the club. And that's not what I want. I wanted a safe, comfy place. And Fort Greene just feels like the coolest grandma's house ever.
It does. It's got these rooms in a house feel. It has a wonderful little patio. Mm-hmm. It's decorated beautifully. You're right. Even though it is a bar on paper, it's not like you're saying it doesn't have a wall of booze behind it. That's so amazing. And I never made that connection until you said that.
It's the kind of place, I don't know, you were speaking earlier about people being in a bar not drinking, and like, I can't tell you how many times when I'm about to perform or just got done performing, they're like, can I buy you a drink? And I say, no, I don't really drink. I'm cool. And the question is always why?
Yeah.
Right?
And you shouldn't have
crazy
to have
to
a why.
It's kind of, it makes me feel like when people are like, do you want to do some heroin? And you're like, nah, I'm cool. And they're like, oh, why? Like, it's just as dangerous. It's just as, you know, but if you say like, do you want to smoke weed? And someone's like, no, you're like, okay, cool.
But alcohol is very hard for folks to understand that some people just don't drink or drink that much or have a reason. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on the opposite end of it in that sometimes I get asked that. It's very rare anymore. It was more when I first quit. Push, push, push. Why? And I'm like, do you want me to talk about being an alcoholic? Because it's going to make you real uncomfortable.
Yeah, we're going to go there real quick.
Why can't we just hang out in a space and say, oh, yeah, I'd love a Coke. I'd love, you know what I mean? I'd love a kombucha.
Mine's pineapple juice and soda water.
Yes. Well, and more bars are figuring that out, that some people just are there to hang out and don't want to drink, but still want an option that's not tonic water or soda water off.
Soda water and bitters, like, for the love of God, like, soda water and bitters. That's the thing, like, at Fort Greene, you know, they have a classic cocktail menu, and she's like, we'll make it a mocktail menu. We'll curate mocktails for you. And that's part of it, is like, everything's an experience. It's not, hey guys, come over here and you can buy a kombucha or a soda water or a Pamplemousse LaCroix.
Right. Though I will say that is quite an upgrade from like 10 years ago when literally couldn't get anything but a Coke. Or, I mean, I'm a tonic water drinker because I'm a weirdo. But
yeah,
like,
that's gross.
It's gross. I know it's gross. So it's great when places go the extra mile to create options. Because the other thing is too, Jen, I'm walking into a place, I'll spend money. I just want to have something to spend money on that's worth my money. So I hope that it you are laying the groundwork for other bars too, to also see this is a viable thing, but for the community to support it too and say, you know what? I want to go out on a Sunday. I don't want to go out and get day drunk. I want to go out and see some music.
I'm going to dance.
I want to go dance. And I can spend $25-$50 on a nice, like, honestly, I'll pay for a nice mocktail. I love a good mocktail.
I love a good mocktail.
Do you think that, I think you're part of a wave of sober focused events, or the underlying current is sobriety or just a sober space. Do you think we're going to see more sober spaces in art and music in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm also hearing the term float around sober curious, which is interesting to me. I feel like the word sober has such a heavy weight to it that I don't want to say, that's why I called it a booze-free hang. I didn't want to say a sober hang, because then people immediately get like, I don't want to go to that. That sounds boring, or that sounds heavy. Sobriety's heavy. And it's like, no, sobriety doesn't have to be heavy. It's a new way to be present in life. I also think that that younger generations, I'm almost 40, so younger generations don't want to drink. They're living a way healthier lifestyle than we are. And if you can offer that, like I said, if you're going to Lost Lake or Larimer Lounge or whatever, and you can get something other than a tonic water, it would be cool. I think it would just, like I said, you can still make money.
Oh, 100%. I also like your emphasis here on booze-free, because I agree. Sobriety is heavy. Also, people that are sober often don't want to talk about it. We just want to be out in the world. But then there's also folks like you who are just like, I don't know, I'm just not drinking. I just don't. It shouldn't be a black or white either or. It's just like, it's just not. So how do we make that not the focus? We have a booze-free hang?
Yeah, it's booze-free hang. Like, I really had to think about that. I talked about it a lot with Eleanor, not wanting to use the word sober, because, again, it's sober is somber. It comes with a lot of weight, and a lot of people, whether they're sober or not, have people in their life that in relationship that are sober, and that probably does represent trauma for them, and that probably does feel a little weird to be like, ooh, should I be in a sober space? And so I really had to think about that again, like intention. What is your intention? The intention is to be like, yo, there's no booze here, and we're gonna dance our butts off. Sorry.
Oh, you can cuss. It's okay.
Okay, cool. And dance our asses off, and in the sunshine. In the bright of the day, you know,
with
like with each other, like, let's get out of this, the darkness, like learning to dance in the light.
Well, Jen Cordy, thank you so much. This was lovely.
I appreciate you. You're a lovely human.
Clearheads, a booze-free hang, happens monthly. The next one is this Sunday, May 8th, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Fort Greene. All ages are welcome, and it's just $12 to get in the door. And here's what else Denverites are talking about. The Cinco de Mayo Festival is finally back. It's been gone for the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but it makes its return this Saturday and Sunday to the partially reopened Civic Center Park. Bring the family down for some live music, delicious Mexican food, and folklorico dancers. Plus, catch the parade on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Speaking of food, Denver's favorite family-owned Five Points restaurant is back. Welton Street Cafe closed in March as they prepared to move into a new place just down the street. They're not quite ready to show their loyal customers the new restaurant just yet, but in the meantime, the Dickerson family is serving takeout from a commissary kitchen at Park Avenue West and California Street. So go get your black-eyed peas, collard greens, and the best fried chicken in town. No, really, we did a whole show rating fried chicken in Denver, and Welton Street Cafe was the winner. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us? Rate the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our morning newsletter, where today, Peyton has even more Cinco de Mayo celebration recommendations for you. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. See you later. Clear heads. There's a lot of, that was bad. Ugh.